I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Great Hill Morning Show is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
Up this hour, Bruins tickets for the opener on Saturday. Be listening, and when I tell you to call, be caller number 9, and you are at the Garden on Saturday. Ken, earlier this morning, you brought up our next guest because he accomplished an amazing feat at Fenway Park.
Right. Rob Bradford wrote about this at WEI.com. So the Rafael Devers third inning home run yesterday and the Wander Franco home run to tie it were both caught by Zach Campbell. And this guy, that's what he does for a living. It's unbelievable. He has over 11,000 baseballs from Major League games.
Does he make more than somebody who's on OnlyFans? Do you know how profitable it is? I guess Zach can tell us because he joins us on the Harbor One hotline this morning. Hey, Zach.
Hey there. You know, I tried to start an OnlyFans and it just didn't work out, so I had to go and catch baseballs instead.
So... we were talking about you earlier and whether or not you're one of these guys who knocks kids out of the way to catch baseballs. And that several texters said that is not you at all, correct?
Well, it's nice to have people stand up for me because they are correct. It's just not something that I do. I tell people you can watch me for 5 minutes or for the next 5 years. I've never knocked anyone down and I never will. I'm extremely careful of my surroundings. And really, I just love to show how positive that can be, and just bring a lot of joy to the sport.
Is it accurate that you've caught? What was the number you used earlier, Ken? 11,000.
Well, I don't know. That's Wikipedia. Zach would know better than me.
How many baseballs have you caught at Major League Baseball parks?
So, if you include every baseball I've gotten, batting practice, toss-ups, foul balls, you can get a ball from the umpire after the game when he's walking off the field. That number is more than 11,000. It's 11,656, including the 7 I got yesterday because I got 5 in batting practice.
Wow.
And then the 2 home runs.
Well, that's amazing because Ken has 11,650.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I better pick up the pace. But I will say that I've gotten 81 lifetime game home run balls.
What do you do with them?
I give away most of the balls at this point. I usually keep the game home runs, but the thousands of batting practice balls at this point, I usually just look for the nearest kid, sometimes a grown-up. I also send some to a children's baseball charity. So, you know, I try not to be a total dick in the process of running around and having my fun.
Oh, that makes us feel, I think that makes me feel a lot better. So if there's a fan sitting there who's younger and really wants a ball and you see them, you just hand it to them, right?
Yeah, I usually look for the smallest kid with a baseball glove who hasn't gotten one. Because a lot of times during batting practice, I'll ask around, like, hey, did you get a ball yet? And a lot of the times the answer is yes. So I'd rather give it to a kid who hasn't, which I know is funny because, like, I'm the guy that accumulates a lot. I don't want to stop at just one. But, yeah, I'm very happy to hand baseballs over. And I film all this stuff for my YouTube channel. If people don't believe me, you can go, and there's a lot of video evidence on that. But, yeah, again, just really trying to bring the experience to people who can't perhaps make it to all these different stadiums. I've been to 61 different Major League stadiums, and I've been to 99 games this season. So I feel like I got to go back for at least one more for the ALCS.
And how do you pay the bills? Like, how do you pay the mortgage?
Well, I'm a full-time YouTuber, so the YouTube revenue is pretty good. I also work with sponsors and brands, and I shout them out. I run a business called Watch with Zach, where I take people to games and actually guarantee that they'll go home with at least one ball. I do merch. I do shout-outs on Cameo.
Wow.
I've written 3 baseball books, one of which is earning royalties 14 years after it came out, Watching Baseball Smarter.
How much would you guess, Zach, that you've spent in pursuit of these balls?
Oh, my God. I mean, a 6-digit number for sure. I've spent more than $40,000 this year between all the travel to different stadiums and hiring a videographer to be with me, paying for his travel, paying people to edit sometimes, although I've edited a lot of my own video this year. So, yeah, it's a massive financial commitment, but thankfully I've found this weird-ass way to make it profitable for myself. So,
Zach, do you ever get him signed? Like if you caught Devers' home run last night, do you ever get a chance where some of the guys sign him so you have it for, like, you know, good memorabilia?
You know, I don't usually try to get baseballs signed. Mm-hmm. I've only tried to get a few, and those are each of the thousands of balls that I've gotten. So number 1,000, 2,000, et cetera. I'm still missing Jock Peterson, who hit a batting practice home run to me for number 9,000, 2016 in Arizona. So, Jock, if you're out there with your pearl necklace listening, I need you, baby. And then one more as well that I'm also trying to get signed. But usually I don't go for the autographs.
How did you take this from, I'm assuming it started as a hobby, into a full-time job? Like, how does one get into this?
That's a good question. You know, I was just like so many other kids wanting to get one baseball when I was young. Went to my first game when I was 6, didn't catch one until I was 12. And even then, that was just a batting practice toss-up. So it wasn't huge in the grand scheme of things, but to me, it was amazing. I just got hooked on it. And really what started to change is that my dad was a writer, and he just had brilliant ideas about all kinds of stuff. And after I got a little publicity for getting my 1,000th ball, he suggested that I write a book about it. And so I did, and he kind of guided me through that a little bit. I was only 19 when I wrote the book called How to Snag Major League Baseballs. And that book was published by Simon & Schuster, came out during my junior year of college, and that kind of put me on the map, if you will, and it's just taken off from there. When I snagged A-Rod's 3,000th career hit back in 2015, again, just the media attention was bonkers, and I'd already been doing a few YouTube videos at that point, and they just started taking off, and I realized that I could probably do it full-time.
Huh. Wow.
How did you get both of them last night? Is it just like perfect, you know...
Positioning,
or...
You know, I try to put myself in a good spot game after game. I've been to a few dozen games at Fenway over the years. I live in New York City, though. I've never sat in that spot at Fenway, but I've been up there a bunch for batting practice. And I know that lots of balls land there. And really, the key to being able to catch baseballs in the stands, whether it's batting practice or during the game, a foul ball or a home run, is you have to be able to move a little bit. So if you're sitting on a staircase, that's cool because you can go forward and backwards, but there's a walkway right down in front in that section between the outfield wall and the front row, and I knew that it was a good spot, and I paid a lot of money on the secondary market for those tickets, not expecting to catch one, but I thought I'd at least have a chance, and if I give myself a chance day after day, eventually luck is going to swing in my favor, and I just feel like last night was the ultimate example of that.
If it's a meaningful ball for the player, do you give it back?
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten, I think, 6 home runs that the players wanted back for themselves. A-Rod's 3,000th hit was the biggest. And that took a couple weeks for me to give it back to him because I had to work out a deal with the Yankees. They actually donated $150,000 to this baseball charity that I'd been working with called Pitch In for Baseball and Softball. So that was like a whole big thing. But I've gotten 5 other players' first career home runs, and I've given those baseballs to all those guys. Mike Trout, that was the biggest one. I caught his first in 2011 at Camden Yards. It's like I caught the last home run ever hit by the Mets at Shea Stadium. Thankfully, the Mets did not ask for that ball. because I really wanted to keep it. So,
Zach,
yeah, I
find this
a lot
all,
of the big
Zach, I'm sorry to interrupt. I find this all impossible to believe. I've been to hundreds of baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
I've never come close to catching a foul ball or a home run ball.
Well, you did have one go off your forehead, though, and break your nose, if
that,
I remember
well,
correctly.
Well, that's a rough memory. I thought we talked yes. about things that we weren't going to bring yes. up on the radio show, Greg. Yes. But no, I mean, in all sincerity, you're 44 years old. You're going to baseball games. You're at last night at Fenway Park, where everybody was filled. I mean, it was standing room only to the nth degree. And you catch two home run balls? Like, the odds of that are infinitesimal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say infinitesimal. But I hear what you're saying. It is pretty stupid to imagine that happening. But I've had about half a dozen games in my life when I've gotten two home runs during one game. I got three in one game in Cincinnati back in 2018. But, of course, there were like 30,000 empty seats at that game. And it's, you know, it's a hitter's park. So last night, yeah, it's just one of those things, man. Like, I figure I should get a home run during a game, maybe once every 10 games or so if I'm in a good spot. And so, you know, I'm not a statistician, but doesn't that work out to, like, then maybe every 100 games I should have a game where I get two?
I don't remember how A-Rod hit his 3,000th ball. It must have been a home run because you caught it. That ball alone
has run out into the field.
That ball alone has to have been the most. Everybody at that stadium that day mm-hmm. was anticipating the 3,000th hit.
And he got it.
And you just happened to get it.
He was seated next to CNBC's Brian Williams at the time.
Zach, how much recon goes into knowing the stadium, knowing the hitters and where they like to hit the ball? I would imagine you'd have to have a lot of, like, intel, you know, so you know, like you said, here's where a lot of the home run balls are hit from this specific team or this specific hitter. Do you do a lot of that, like getting to just know the stadiums and the players and that kind of thing and where they like to hit the ball?
Kind of. I used to look at spray charts and scatter plots more occasionally now if there's one particular player that I'm targeting. You know, if someone's coming up on a milestone, I might go look and see where he hits it. But I've been to over 1,800 games, and I go to batting practice all the time, and I just know where certain guys hit, and I know what's likely, and I just know stadiums very well. I've been to every major league stadium multiple times. I know the best spots. So it's really just about going to those good spots and then hoping that luck is on my side beyond that. I mean, with the A-Rod ball, I was sitting out in right field at Yankee Stadium, which surprised a lot of people. They were like, how did you know he was going to go oppo? And I was like, well, I didn't know, but he does love to go oppo. And it's like, if a guy pulls a ball, he can yank it down the foul line. He can launch it 450 feet. There's a much bigger area that you have to cover. But if a guy goes oppo, he's not going to hit it as far. And I knew that if I did play him to right field, I could pinpoint the potential area easier. And, you know, again, luck was on my side, but I was definitely thinking along those lines.
Amazing. Have you ever caught a ball from inside a whale's mouth?
That's next on my to-do list.
We need to get this guy on the phone with Chaim Bloom and with all these analytics.
Yeah,
he should be working for the Red Sox.
Your Instagram, and like, I'm looking at you saying you caught your first postseason home run last night, but then you've created this whole space where now teams are like inviting you to go to their ballpark. I'm guessing they're probably footing the bill. You're getting food sent to you. You're signing autographs. Like, this is unbelievable.
It's pretty wild. I mean, usually it's minor league teams that will reach out and invite me. Major league teams, occasionally they'll have something going on with me or the media. But I mean, a lot of times with the major leagues, I'm paying for myself. But yeah, like at a stadium, I do feel famous. Like, there's usually 100 or 200 people that come up to me every time I'm in a major league stadium. But I mean, like right now I'm walking down the street talking to you guys. I just returned my rental car. You can probably hear New York City traffic. But, you know, like, not one person knows who I am right now. So I'm a nobody out here, but everybody wants to hang with me at baseball stadiums. So it's a very weird contrast.
And, like, what are you, like, what you're making on YouTube is, I don't want to pry, but is it six figures?
I don't like to talk about that, but, yeah, it is.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't like to go into too many specifics, but, yeah, it's very much a full-time living. I do put a lot of money back into it, all the travel and everything, so... You know, the first year that I did this full time, I lost money. I had to dip into my savings, but I saw the potential, and I figured if the numbers kept going, I'd round that corner and start profiting. And, you know, I got past that a number of seasons ago. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a very, very strange way to make a living. I don't deny that. And actually, one person last night at Fenway muttered to me as he was walking past my seat. He's like, get a real job. And in my mind, I'm like, why? So I can suffer like you? I actually spend more time editing video than I will at the stadium itself. Like last night's game, I entered at 5 o'clock, 2 hours early. And then I got out of there, you know, at like, what, 11 o'clock? So I was there for 6 hours. It's probably going to take me 10 hours to edit that video. So it actually is a lot of work, but it's fun work.
How long did it take you to superimpose yourself with that A-Rod ball?
You know, my Photoshop skills are not great, so that took me a while. But it fooled a lot of people, so that's cool.
Who are the people who are recognizing you? Probably the same YouTube people
fans.
The same people who know the term Oppo.
Oppo.
YouTube's huge.
Yeah,
if you're big on YouTube,
it's extraordinary that I'm blown away by this.
Get your bag, man.
It's amazing.
I appreciate it. I have over 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and it is a lot of kids. You know, 90% of the fans that approach me at games are kids. But there's a lot of grown-ups. You know, kids of all ages. Anybody who just loves to have fun and just see all the inner workings of a baseball stadium and all the wacky things you can do. I think those are the people that it appeals to. So just hoping to ride this wave and keep it going.
Yeah. All right.
Huh?
Do you have a significant other?
I am dating someone. Yeah, no, I will say that this does make dating difficult because
right.
I'm on the road more often than I'm home during baseball seasons, and it does take a special kind of person.
You're hanging with a lot of Franks.
Right.
Find you one that...
Oh, wow. You guys just had to go there. Went for the low blow.
Curtis.
That's all right.
Zach,
all right.
Find you one that likes catching balls, too. Right. You're all set.
Right. This is...
Well, yeah, in more ways than one.
Zach, this is really interesting. I'm basically floored by it. One of the more interesting and bizarre interviews ever. So I'm glad that Ken brought you up this morning.
Right.
Over 11,000 balls caught at Major League and Minor League ballparks, including
just Major League. You don't count Minor League in that total. No spring training, no Minor League. Just
his
major
first
league
postseason home run last night.
Yeah, well, two of them. He got both of the...
Right. Number one and number two in the postseason. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Zach. Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Good for him.
He has, you look at his Instagram, he has like 122,000 followers.
He said he had 500,000 subscribers. So
on
he's
YouTube,
making,
yeah.
He's making that money like, you know, he's out there making that money as a social media person. Get that money, Brad.
Baseball influencer.
Six figures.
Do you buy it, though?
Yes.
You do?
You look at the numbers.
If he has 500, if he has 500,000 subscribers, yeah, he's definitely making some coin
and
on
122,000 on Instagram, he's making...
Yeah, he's making bread.
No, but do you buy the fact that he legit caught all those balls?
Well, he's saying he's catching...
What are the odds at Fenway Park last night, 4,000 people there, that you catch two home run balls? What are the odds?
That's pretty low.
It's probably... The odds are probably worse on that than they are on the dude who hit the back-to-back holes in one at Pinehurst when we were there.
Yeah, but if he's going to bat in practice, right, and he's at bat in practice for... Ken, how long is you bat in practice usually for?
Yeah, I mean, for each team, 20 minutes, half hour.
Right, so if he's there, he's probably catching, what, 15, 20 balls at bat in practice?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's catching it.
I don't dispute anything about batting practice.
No, I don't either.
I'm talking about, like, last night at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
But there's footage of it.
Right.
I mean, it's like a pro among fish. Like, there's people there, when it's a home run ball, they freeze. This guy's, like, going for it.
Well, because he knows the ballpark. That's the one thing he said. He knows the ballpark, and he's kind of learned the hitters over time. And if he knows where they go, he's probably spending – most of his money is probably being spent on getting the seats, getting those perfect seats where he – like he said, he can maneuver a little bit. But when you know the ballparks and you know that, hey, 40% of the home runs are hit to this specific area, I'm going
to
get a seat.
But if you're maneuvering, I need to see some video, because there's no way he hasn't taken someone out. If you're maneuvering around, he's saying that's never happened. He's never bumped into someone.
When the place is on fire.
I worked at Fenway for 3 summers. I've been to probably 40 games a year from when I was like 5 until I went to college. I never came close. Like, it's not
You don't
not
move well.
Feasible.
I've seen you move.
I have elite hand-eye coordination.
An amazing job, though. Just basically going to ballparks, watching games, and catching baseballs. And he's making six figures.
That is a great job.
Yeah.
This is a great job.
All right. We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They continue to share the solution for weight loss by opening a new location in Auburn. Find the location nearest you, awaken180weightloss.com. And the great Ty Law has agreed to move back to 8:35.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome as always. Ty Law and a tie is Tuesday.
He said he was coming in today. Did he
told me to call.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
All right. We got to get Ty back in here. Maybe next week.
He's going to be a celebrity bartender at Howe, right?
Yes, he is.
When's
this,
that come?
I think that's this Saturday. We'll ask him about that's it. Awesome. It's a V1 vodka
Ooh,
thing.
Ooh, that'll be game two somewhere? Yes. Red Sox viewing party at Howe?
Ooh, speaking of that, Bruins home opener. You want to give away
let's do
tickets?
It.
All
that's
right.
This Saturday.
Opening night. If you are caller number 9 right now at 617-931-0937, you win tickets. For opening night, Bruins and Dallas Stars. It's happening this Saturday. Call now. Sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
Christian Arroyo lays the bunt down in the ninth. I love this play. Will Fleming got him in the clubhouse, the victorious clubhouse afterward. Little small ball, Wiggy, to get the winning run over and in place. And here's Arroyo talking about it.
11 bunts all year long. What are you thinking when you look down and see that bunt put on?
I mean, we work on it, right? Like, this is the moment that we work on it for, is these kind of games when you're in the postseason. And it's funny because at the beginning of the season, you know, you're in spring training, you're working on your bunts and stuff. And at the beginning of the season, I remember AC saying, this is going to make a difference in a game. And did I know that it was going to make a difference in a postseason game? No, not at all. But going into that at-bat, I mean, I'm on deck. I see Vasquez have that at-bat he had. And, you know, he goes and gets that knock off of Diaz's glove. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, maybe try to hit a double and win it. But then he looked at me and he said, hey, get the bunt down. I said, let's go then.
Got the bunt down. A little help from Travis Shaw, a little error there on the ground.
Who's doing the broadcast? Because they were like, Kike should do the push bunt.
I thought about that because the right side of the infield was all open. That was from John Smoltz.
Right, because the first baseman was pretty much lined up where the second baseman was.
Yeah, that would have been ballsy.
Yeah.
Didn't do that. Got the sack fly and the win. Game 1 and 2 on the road Friday and Saturday. 3-5 of the ALCS Fenway Monday through Wednesday of next week. That's what's trending off of the Gruden news. The Monday Night Football goes to the Ravens, Greg. But Ty Law coming up next, so we should get about that, should we?
Mm-hmm.
That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. In case you forgot.
That a boy, that's the spirit.
It's a Ty MFing Law Tuesday.
Hey, Mr. Crab, man, tell Bill, man, hey, man, I need my money, man. I'm Ty Mother Law.
On WEEI.
Ty Tuesday is brought to you by AAA Now Hiring. Apply today at AAA.com/careers and Ty Law. Also brought to you on Ty Tuesday by V1 Vodka, which is Ty Law's vodka. Ty, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you? I thought you were coming in here today.
I was supposed to come in there today. I really was, but I got to be like LeBron James this morning and take my talents back to South Beach. It's getting a little cold. I'm going to come back in, but I got to get. I'm on the way to the airport as we speak, man. I'm sorry I had to run. I got to get back down here to Florida.
Well, Wiggy was hitting the panic button all morning yesterday over the Patriots win. Are you a win on the road as a win on the road guy, or are you concerned about this football team?
I mean, a win is a win, no matter how it comes. But at the same time, we're talking about the Houston Texans. Come on, guys! I mean, you got to win that one. Even though we had four or five offensive linemen out.
Four.
Yeah, I mean, so you got to take that in consideration. But at the same time, it's the Houston Texans. I understand we all get paid when you go out there and play the game, but that's a game that I didn't think that they would have that much trouble with, to be honest with you, especially after coming off of a big game against Tampa.
Yeah, I called it an ugly win, right? And from a fan's perspective, you know, I look at this team and I'm a fan of this team. I've been a fan for a long time. And that's a game I expected you to go out there and just completely dominate a Texans team that you were far better than, far superior. And when you don't do that, I have a little bit of concern, especially the way the defense played.
Exactly. I mean, it is some red flags there. I mean, you got the Mac Jones, for instance. He threw some. He made some rookie mistakes. You know, some bad throws. But at the same time, you know, he came back. He made some throws when it counted. So you're going to see those ups and downs. But to not have an offensive line and come away with a win, I guess you can try to find some good in that. But I am a little concerned about the team overall. It's too many, you know, highs and lows with the team. They're not playing consistent football right now. So they're going to have to pick the game up. It's still early in the season. And let's be quite honest, outside of Buffalo, the AFC East ain't that great. So you still got a chance.
Well, maybe things would have been different if your whispering in the ear of Steph Gilmore hadn't let him out of town.
Hey, you know what? I didn't see that one coming. I was with Steph at the game. You know, I was sitting with Steph, and no one anticipated that one coming. But, you know, you can't be surprised, you know, either. You know who you're dealing with. And but good for Stephon. You know, I did talk to him. He's back at home. Imagine Wiggy getting up out of your probably 15,000-20,000 square foot house and you're 20 minutes from work, you know. So Steph is very happy right now. He's glad he's back home, and I wish him the best.
But wait, when you
still
spoke
still my little brother, regardless.
When you talk about him being your little brother and you talk about the game, you were with him at the Tampa Bay game, right?
Yes.
And he didn't give you any kind of indication that he was
no, I don't think at least he didn't share that with me at that point. But I don't think anyone was expecting that or anticipating that. You know, he was rehabbing as usual, you know, to prepare to come back. And unfortunately, whatever transpired between him and the organization didn't work out. But I know from talking to Stephon, he's happy. His wife is happy that they get to go back home. They just had a little baby a few months ago. So he's back at home around family, and, you know, that's where he wants to retire at. So what better way to go back and get two checks, hell?
Well, Ty, I tried to ask Bill about it yesterday, about facing him week 9. So you've talked to Steph now that he's gone. Is there any type of excitement around him now that he has to face his old team? Is there any bad blood there?
You know, I know he's going to be excited, you know, to play him, and I think that's one of the target dates that he wants to come back. I do know that, but he's going to take it day by day. You know, he's still, you know, dealing with some. He's on IR, so you don't want to – I guess he doesn't want to push it, but I know he wants to play that game in particular. I mean, I do know that, but any extra emphasis on it, is any bad blood? I don't know. It might be one of those things they just couldn't come with an agreement. Like I said, I was surprised by the whole thing, but he's going to look forward to playing against the Patriots whenever he does play against them. I look forward to playing against them, Courtney. Hey, when I got released, when I came back to play the Patriots anytime that I got an opportunity, I was looking forward to playing in my old team because I want to play well. I want to show you what you've been missing and all that good stuff. So whatever you have to do to play in your head to perform, that's what you have to do. But I know he's excited about it, as I was.
Ty, the one thing I'm concerned about with this Gilmore situation, I remember being in Minnesota and we traded away Randy Moss. And everybody looked in that locker room like, wait a second.
Dummies.
Yeah, we're trading one of our best players. Now, Gilmore, defensively, when those guys look and go, wait a second, we're struggling a little bit, we trade away our best player, do you think that might come back to, like, you know, kind of have a little dissension in the locker room as far as some of those players going, Jesus, we're struggling on defense, we could have used a guy like Gilmore, kind of look at Bill like, why would you make that move?
There's always going to be questions within the locker room on certain decisions that upper management and head coach make. You know that. I mean, but guess what? That's why we're players and that's why their G is. But we're always going to question that. And I'm quite sure there are going to be some guys in there, that, especially guys that haven't been around a long time, know how they operate. Now, you got guys like Devin McCourty that's still there. You know, he's still going to provide that leadership role. If anyone feels anything, it might be him because they played together, had so much success together for the longest. So, it'd be interesting to, you know, to hear his thoughts, you know, on that. But they are a better team and are a better defense with Stephon Gilmore out there on the field. But at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. They couldn't get their business interests aligned. So that's why he had to move on, and that's why the organization did what they did. So I think – I don't know how in the hell did they feel that that's a win as an organization. But as far as Stephon is concerned, you know what? He doesn't have the pressure. He's back at home. He's going to be collecting two checks, so he's happy.
We're split in this room when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. I think a term used yesterday was flatline for Mac Jones. Have you seen any type of improvement from week one
that was
to
Wiggy
Sunday when it comes to the quarterback?
I just think it's all about the growth. I mean, he's going to have his ups and downs. I am not expecting but so much from Mac Jones in the first place. And what could we all expect from him when you have four of your five offensive linemen, you know, not playing in the game? So you knew it was going to be a tough game. So I think that he did enough to win the ball game, and that's all you can ask for. But let's keep in mind that he is a rookie. We're just still healing from the whole Tom Brady not being here. This is the quarterback of the future, so he's going to have his ups and downs. So, you know, I think he's right on par where he needs to be.
Ooh. Hmm. Oh.
See, say I'm an again. Offensive guy,
say,
though.
Say that again so Wiggy can hear it. You did not, as a rookie, Mac Jones is exactly where you expected him to be. You did not have grand expectations his rookie season.
No, he didn't. And I think, you know, even it all threw us off by the way he played in the preseason. We all thought that Cam Newton would be the starting quarterback. He would be getting groomed up under Cam Newton to take the helm. So for him to go in there right now, no one expected him to be a starting quarterback. So he is right where he's supposed to be, and I think he's probably exceeding expectations because we had no expectations.
See, I look at it, and I will tell you, I'm an offensive guy, and I look at it, if I was on this offense and we were a team that we were – averaging 17 points a game, scoring points the way we were. We weren't throwing the ball for a ton of yards. I would be like, what are we doing here? And that's the one thing that I look at this Patriots offense and I go, offensively, they haven't shown me anything where I feel confident if they got to win a game, you know, there's going to be one of those games where you got to win 34-31, that they can do that on the offensive side of the football.
I agree, but think about it from Josh McDaniel's standpoint, because he's calling the plays. I'm quite sure they have something in the playbook that he can draw up that, yes, they don't do this consistently, but if they need to bring it out, that Mac is capable of making that play. They're going to win by committee right now. Running backs catching the ball out the backfield. The tight ends are not going to go downfield. They're going to take their shot every now and again. You know, and there's few and far between. But they're playing they're managing – the game, but they're also managing Mac. And I think that's good for a young quarterback because you can go out there and not play well. It can mess with your head and you are done. So I love the way that they're handling him right now. And like I said, people's expectations shouldn't be so far up there like he's Tom Brady or somebody. Man, let's just keep it real and be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, we have a quarterback for the future. Right now, he's a rookie. Let's just down the expectations, even though, yes, he is a professional football player. Yes, he is the quarterback. But damn it, Tom Brady just left, and no one's going to be that right away.
How impressed have
Probably
you been?
Ever.
Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
Ever. Yeah, ever.
How impressed have you been ever. With Matt Judon?
He can play. Now, I mean, that is definitely a bright spot on the team, you know, as far as him being physical and getting to the quarterback. I love it. We need some more guys like that. And I'll go back in because I'm just going to keep always teasing that because, one, it's my brother, is number 24. Every time we had a Super Bowl, it was a number 24 out there playing cornerback, balling. Imagine him out there with Stephon Gilmore, y'all.
Maybe J.C. Jackson should change his number to 24.
hey, if he got to step his game up. You put that on now, it's gonna be some real expectations. You know, you got to have some swag to you to put that number on, Wiggy.
I know.
But Ty, just to be clear, and I hate to bring the name up, but you would prefer that this team have Mac Jones as its quarterback at this moment as opposed to Cam Newton, correct?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I still think, Cam, for what it's worth, is a more experienced quarterback, and he will be the better quarterback. But I think for the situation with the Patriots and where they're going with their team, Mac Jones is the answer, and I see him being the future quarterback for a long time. I think he's going to be very good, but to say he's better than Cam Newton as a rookie, I'm not going to sit here and disrespect Cam like that.
Well, you know what? Hey, I got no more questions. All I know, Saturday was a great day for me. My Bulldogs won. I was sipping on some V1 vodka. I know Michigan was able to win. So, hey, that's all I need right there.
All right. Speaking of V1, I know you're going to be out and about over the next bunch of days. Where can we run into you?
We're going to be at Howl at the Moon in Boston on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on Sunday, we going in on the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to shock the world, the Patriots. We're going to get these Cowboys. I don't think anyone's expecting the Patriots to win this game. So I'm going to be up there with V1 in the suites. We're going to do a tasting. We're going to get, you know, nice and tipsy before we go out there and watch the Patriots whoop on Dallas.
That'd be a signature win if they can beat Dallas. That'd be that win that I'm looking for.
Exactly. And they need that one. They need that one. So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, prime time game. Everyone is going to be watching. I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan, so you know I'm diehard Patriot now. But I grew up diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. But now, you know, I'm full tilt Patriot. So Dallas got to go down.
All right, Ty Law, Ty Tuesday. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll see you Saturday night. And ask for V1 vodka whether you're out and about at a restaurant or a bar or at your favorite package store.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And like you said, I'll see you guys Saturday.
All right.
Don't be late, Wiggy and Coco.
I won't.
No, I'll be right on time.
All right, great. Take it easy, guys.
All right. That is Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday, and we'll be right back.
WEEI is searching for the next Red Sox podcast co-host.
And the Boston Red Sox are the world champions.
So go and grab your favorite Sox jersey and submit a 2 to 4 minute video of yourself giving us your best Sox take.
Looking up, it's gone!
Apply now at weei.com/podsox and you could be hired. Must be 18 or older to apply.
The search for the next dynamic and passionate Red Sox podcast co-host is on. That's weei.com/podsox.
ZipRecruiter is a proud partner of Odyssey's 2400 Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Greg Hill Morning Show.
My calves. I am told I have adorable calves.
Right. On WEEI.
She suffered a lot, and it was my fault. And, you know, sometimes we make bad decisions, and I made a horrible decision in baseball, and I paid the price. But what really hurt me was for them to suffer because of my mistakes. And for her to enjoy this is very gratifying.
To have Alex come back, look, it wasn't easy to bring him back. I mean, there are a lot of people that...
easy.
Well, there are some people that were criticized, right? Yeah, but he's that talented of a manager. What difference did he make for this ball club this year?
He made a huge difference. You see it every night. I mean, you guys watch it every night. He makes a huge difference in decisions he makes, or, as in 2018. Especially in October, his instincts and his intelligence in this game is unmatched.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have...
Alex Cora, and if you don't recognize the other voice, that is John Henry speaking, I believe... publicly for the first time since the pandemic, Curtis.
And I would like to propose a trade. Our partners through, I think, 2023, 2028, whatever it is. The Red Sox keep Uvalde to sleep in, and we'll take John Henry to join us this week.
And you believe there were people out there that wanted Alex Cora banned
for life?
That's
a joke.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They wanted him banned for life from baseball.
Well, at the time, we thought that they cheated both with the Red Sox and the Astros in consecutive years to win World Series. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets, right?
No, I don't think so. Because the Red Sox won, I don't think there was, I don't believe that people believed he cheated with the Red Sox. I think there was once the proof came out with the Astros, I think the people then just threw the Red Sox in there.
What?
Well, there was a full investigation, there were others who suspected that it may have happened here.
And I'm on that bandwagon that thinks that Cora took the fault for everybody else. Like, I think that he was the poster child for the cheating scandal, and he took it like a man. And I love this guy. Like, when I tell you I could watch videos of him crying, I have tears in my eyes watching every single one. The emotion that he has for this team and the organization and for Boston, that's what you want. Like, you want that.
What about Alex Cora?
I love him. And if baseball would be a worse sport without Alex Cora, I think.
If the Red Sox win the World Series, would it be Boston's most improbable title since the 0-1 Patriots? So remove that, because that was obviously totally shocking, great moment, set the stage for everything else over the last two decades. 69% say that, yes, it will be the most improbable Boston title since 2001.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to find.
13?
More improbable than not? No, I don't know. Think about everything they went through with COVID. Think about blowing that lead that they had at the All-Star break shortly before that.
I mean, go back to 3 weeks after the trade deadline. We're sitting in here, and the Red Sox are a punchline. They're awful. They're free-falling. Even the last week of the season, they needed miraculous at-bats from Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts to beat the Nats, who won like 50 games.
And the 13 team was in first place. They didn't have to go through a wild card. I think that's a big difference.
Great
just to win
point.
That one wild card game.
Yeah. This is Sorja. What's up, Sorja?
What's going on, everybody? How are we doing this morning?
Excellent.
I got to give two quick shout-outs. First of all, shout-out to Wiggy for building the glass house we've been living in for the last 20 years. The other shout-out I had to give out is to my main man, Lou Maloney. And this is what I want to go over, guys, all right? You remember how it went down. Everyone's saying, oh, you got to make a move. You got to make a move. They made a move. Without making a move, they blindsided us. We are winning the World Series. I don't want to hear anything about no pinstripes, about no Astros, about no Lakers, Nets finals, about Mahomes who's not winning another Super Bowl. I don't want to hear anything about that. We are winning. this year.
Yeah. I mean, we went for weeks. We discussed, driven mostly by
yours truly. Yep.
Whether or not Chaim Bloom had any faith in the ball club, and he absolutely clearly did.
Now you got Schwarbaum t-shirts yes, all over the place.
Yes, yes. No, I own that.
You better be Schwarbucks because they better pay him.
Is it your friend Chris at Capitol Grill?
Yes.
Does he have a Schwarbaum drink yet? I mean, that seems to be right up his alley.
No, but the sliders were Wiggy's. They were Wiggy sliders. There needs to be some sort of a menu item at the Capitol Grill named after J. Charles Wiggins.
I was hitting those things like home runs. I'll tell you that. Yeah. They were going down good.
Perfect proportion, too.
Yeah.
The bun and meat proportion.
I love the bread, too. But I tell you, it was so many things. I like the little, what do they call it, lamb chop?
Lamb lollipops?
Yes.
Yeah. Curtis.
Yes, those
Curtis,
are good
what do you
too.
Say? 617 texter says, how can you say that 2004 wasn't improbable?
Okay, this is what I'm talking about. You need to be smart to understand these things. 04, they were a wagon. They lost in Game 7 in 2003 in the ALCS, and then they added Folk and Schilling to an already awesome team. They were unbelievably great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're down 3-0, though.
No, but we're talking about, like, the season improbability.
Collectively, yeah.
When the Red Sox got everybody together for 04, it was World Series or bust.
Yeah.
Was this team World Series or bust at all?
No.
And this team beat a 100-plus win Rays team.
Yeah. Right. Everybody was like, at the beginning of the season, everybody like, oh, this team stinks. They're not going to be very good. And then when they kind of went on that run, I think the message turned a little bit. And it was like, oh, this is a good team. But then when they hit that little slide, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, this team is not good.
Slider?
They hit the slider, and everybody's, oh, this team is not good. But I always said from day one, and I think, you know, I went the Martin Perez route, is that this was a good baseball team. They had a good pitching staff. They had the biggest thing going to be for them in this next series is what they did in this Tampa Bay series is keep those bats going. If those bats are on fire, you know what? Cora's going to mix. She's going to put things together, mixing it up with that bullpen and the starting rotation and kind of, you know, pitcher by committee. It's all
good.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway from this playoff, the ALDS and the wild card, has been Fenway Park, though. It's been the fans and the love affair. Like, I know it sounds cheesy, but I was walking Pudge last night briefly during the game, and I was able to follow along. Everybody's house was watching it. People were getting together. I saw a bunch of young guys in Verdugo shirts. It's like all of a sudden the city is now completely invested in it. It's great.
Ooh, there's a good poll question. Who was the ALDS MVP, Kike or Fenway Park?
I don't think the ballpark can be the MVP.
I think Curtis made a great case.
Well, Xander Bogaerts said it.
I don't think they win that Kike. Series without fans. If they had no fans like last year, I think they lose to the Rays. Right. Definitely.
Good point.
I mean, Wiggy brought up the bats. Yes, obviously. But then, Ken, really the only question that remains is rotation heading into the ALCS.
Right.
And your question, do you have a question about E-Rod going forward, or did Easy Eddie completely change your mind last night about what you can expect from him?
He's like every other start, he's good. So I think you have to expect him to stink whenever you pitch him, but just have a quick hook. But last night, I mean, 4 innings shutout, that 17-pitch at-bat by Meadows was awesome. Then he struck him out. I think that's the longest. Somebody tweeted that's the longest at pitch length at bat that ended in a strikeout in postseason history.
Yeah, that one was long.
That was quite a battle.
And the Fox broadcasters, at every chance, they were like, ooh, this could be the spark the Rays need. It was like puke-inducing. They were awful. John Smoltz is a disgrace.
And the first back-to-back walk-off since 2004 for the Red Sox, playoff-wise. Is that correct?
That's correct. All Ortiz, right. Home run in Game 4, and then the flare in Game 5.
This is Chris from Maine. What's up, Chris?
Hey, not too much. I just want to agree with Curtis. This was absolutely improbable. I woke my wife up out of a dead sleep. I slapped her in the ass when they won, man.
That's the only way to wake her up.
Like, what happened? I was standing up in the room, jumping up and down in the house by myself. I mean, there's no one expected this. No one. And if they did, they're lying to you.
And Chris's wife caught 2 balls.
She, well, not last night. She was too tired.
All right.
617-779-7937 is the number to call if you want to be on this morning, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
The Sox are AL Division champs.
And the Red Sox have won the Division Series.
The Sox Station.
Kiermaier will watch it. Go!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.